Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
I believe there are a couple reasons reparative or sexual orientation change therapy is under such an attack, as we've seen in recent really years, that the attack has been against them. One is the successful stories that can be told about those who've gone through reparative therapy or sexual orientation change therapy. And I think the second is that the very existence of those ex-gays runs counter to the born gay lie that homosexual activists use, because if there are former homosexuals, that doesn't play out in their playbook. My recent 2020 documentary is just such an attack. We've also seen the Southern Poverty Law Center, who was all, seems like Southern Poverty Law Center and HRC, Human Rights Campaign, are behind a lot of this. But in recent days, actually, there's been an effort to counter some of those lies that are being spouted by these organizations. But unfortunately, there have been states that have listened to the lies that are being told about reparative therapy, and they have actually passed laws taking away the rights of parents to seek counseling for their minor children with unwanted same-sex attraction. In those states, I believe there's seven altogether, those parents cannot seek counseling, cannot legally seek counseling for their children. But again, action has been taken to counter some of these lies. And my guest today is going to talk about this. My guest is David Pickup. He's a licensed marriage and family therapist, reparative therapist, with offices in Dallas and L.A. He's done doctoral studies at California Southern University, is a member of the American Psychological Association, California Association of Marriage and Family Therapists, and is a board member of National Association of Research and Therapy for Homosexuality. That's a mouthful. Thanks, David, for being with us.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
And I think we kind of met at Janet, at least we both spoke at Janet Folger's news conference in front of the Supreme Court before the oral argument.
Great experience.
Yeah, that's for sure. It always amazes me how the other side so badly misinterprets what we actually say.
Exactly right, especially in terms of now these therapy issues that you very deftly mentioned a second ago.
Right. Let's just talk about you for a few minutes, let people know who you are. You're a therapist, and the APA actually lets you be a member. Wow, that's surprising.
Yeah.
Tell us about yourself and about the APA.
Yeah, I am a member of the APA. They probably don't notice any members that don't have any really power within the APA. I'm just a member.
Okay.
And there are, I think, over 80,000 members.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, it probably kind of, at least for right now, gets all lost in the shuffle.
Yeah.
However, what they don't realize is that these issues are growing and growing and growing. And reparative therapy, now I'm talking about the authentic reparative therapy, not the junk
right.
that you hear lies about all over the internet and in some legislatures, unfortunately, which you mentioned with state bans. But the real thing is growing. More training is happening. More therapists are joining efforts to learn about these procedures that really do work.
Mm-hmm.
So all of us who are reparative therapists, the real kind, Our offices, business is brisk. And
wow.
So we think, it's just an opinion, but we think that because LGBT issues are becoming more and more ingrained in the minds and hearts of children and adults, we're probably going to be getting a lot more, unfortunately, in a sense, be getting a lot more people dealing with these issues that will be in our offices.
Wow, and I think that's probably the reason for the increase in the attacks. I mean, 2020 focused on unlicensed therapists, a whole group of, or at least I think it's one or two camps in Alabama that this 2020 so-called documentary concentrated on. But again, they were looking at unlicensed therapists.
Exactly.
Yeah, the ones who've gone through the training. And I find it very encouraging that you're saying that I'll put it like this, business is brisk with the reparative therapist, because I think more and more kids, as they're being indoctrinated, and a lot of it's in the public school or they're on the internet, and this may cause them to question their sexuality.
Right.
I've always said the kids are the guinea pigs. And with this efforts to pass laws, such as, I think it is seven states. Isn't it seven states that have passed these bans?
Yes, right, currently seven.
Okay.
But you know what?
Yeah.
If we hadn't have worked in our lobbying efforts to testify in state legislatures and lobbying governors and legislators over the last 4 years, of which the National Task Force for Therapy Equality has been one of the primary leaders in that effort, you would have had 20 more states by now that probably would have, or at least near approved, those bans. What the public doesn't know is that 20 out of 25 of those bans have been not passed or defeated within the last 4 years alone, because sane, competent, compassionate legislatures know what's really going on behind these bans is just simply not caring about children, but indoctrination of the LGBT agenda.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's very much, and I know that you guys have been instrumental in stopping it here in Pennsylvania. I know that there have been letters that Chris Doyle has sent to, in fact, he did one earlier this year to counter SB 44, which has been introduced by Senator Anthony Williams. He's been doing this every couple years, you know, when the legislature starts up again. And unfortunately, we also have another one, HB, over in the House, HB 1177, that's been introduced by the only openly homosexual member of the General Assembly, Brian Sims. He and several other Democrats have introduced that one also. But they haven't gone anywhere thus far. We have Republican majorities in both the House and Senate. Not that it always means anything, but at this point they have, you know, held those bills in committee, and they've just died in committee. So we're praying the same things happen.
That's right.
Same thing happens.
And you know what? People got to be informed. If the public will just speak up and be informed, the truth is there. It's easy to access. Our jobs actually are easy. What makes it hard are people who are, I'm talking about the activists who simply don't care about people.
Yeah.
They're there to destroy principles that are conservative or religious-based. They're there to destroy the minds and hearts of people because their views don't match their own. And we see this in the way they react, in their demeaning language, and in their refusal to even consider. In fact, this is how you know that they're extremely biased. They won't even consider the evidence on the other side of the argument, where we do.
Yeah.
That's a big key to know who you're dealing with.
Yeah, they're not open-minded at all. I mean, like you're saying, they're very much set in stones as far as their beliefs. I know several years ago I went to the National Constitution Center in Philadelphia. There was a special display telling about the history of the LGBT movement in the United States. And when you first went in, about the first thing you saw was talking about electric shock therapy and lobotomies and all that kind of stuff, alluding to that this is still going on. And, and that's not the case. But that's, again, that's they're using this to immediately get the sympathy of the one who's walking through this display.
And exactly.
They're very, very successful, and the mainstream media is on their side, unfortunately, bought into the entire lie about homosexuality and now transgenderism.
Right.
So we've had the Southern Poverty Law Center, Human Rights Campaign, and other homosexual groups have consistently told lies about what reparative therapy is, making it appear as if it is the electroshock, things like that.
Right.
Being used. So just give us a little bit of a rundown of what reparative therapy is.
Let me tell you exactly what it is, because your listeners really need to know. Reparative therapy is based on the belief of the clients, not any political regime, on the clients, that every client has a right to their own knowledge of who they believe they are, that homosexual feelings are not naturally inborn. In other words, they're not genetic. Sure enough, scientifically, there is no gay gene. The most liberal psychological associations in the world agree that that's true. They also think that there's probably some kind of genetic component, but they freely admit nothing's been proven yet. Okay. So when you have those clients, usually people of faith, by the way, they believe they're caused by something. And so what reparative therapy does, the real thing, it first searches for those causes, which turn out to be, by and large, severe gender identity inferiority when one goes through childhood,
mm-hmm.
and severely unmet needs for love, affection, approval, affirmation, again, through childhood. And all those needs get eroticized in puberty. And so when that journey into adulthood is interrupted by erotically trying to fulfill those natural inborn needs that I just mentioned, it takes a person off track and takes them into homosexual feelings that are actually caused by these deep issues. So what reparative therapy does, it goes to the bottom of those wounds, knows what those wounds are, help that person who's going to be in grief, anger, confusion, helps them, this is a long story short, of course, but helps them resolve all those issues. And what happens, which is what people really don't know, is when those issues are resolved, homosexual feelings automatically, spontaneously lessen and dissipate. And that's how you know it works. And that's the evidence that the other side is not telling people. They're not recording or mentioning the success stories that people actually experience in my office, in all our offices, practically every day of the week.
Yeah.
And so, reparative therapy also, by the way, is about truth and compassion, according to the client, in most cases, because they're people of faith, according to their own faith. And it just happens to complement people of faith's belief system.
Right.
And it's about the rise of the authentic, secure, gendered, and sexual self. And that really matches who they truly are. That's what real reparative therapy is.
So you're basically attempting to repair, and successfully, sounds like, in most cases, to repair harm that has been done in their childhood or early teens, somewhere in their upbringing.
That's right. That's essentially, it's a succinct story, and there's a lot of details to that,
well,
but
right,
you essentially are right. You hit the nail on the head. And by the way, I haven't even mentioned sexual abuse. About 50%. About 50% of guys dealing with same-sex attractions have been sexually abused.
That's
another story.
Was that 50?
So
50? What was the percentage again?
It's about 50%.
About half. Okay.
It's probably a lot more. I've heard some research state, or report rather, that about 75% of gay people, and who knows what that figure actually is,
exactly,
of gay people have been sexually molested in some form. But we frequently, those of us who are therapists, see sexual abuse, not always, but as a part of the sexualization of those needs. And so what these state bans, if you can believe this, what these state bans are actually saying, even though they have this evidence on their tables in front of them, they actually are saying it's illegal for me as a therapist to conduct change therapy for children who are sexually abused, whose homosexual feelings arise because of these experiences. Can you imagine?
No, I can't. And that's always just floored me as to how legislators or how anyone would want that, would want any, no matter, not even taking away the homosexual issue, to forbid anyone to get needed counseling, especially a child. And
absolutely,
it just totally blows away my mind. But as you're saying, it's the homosexual activists who, they have an agenda and they are wanting to trump over anybody or any idea that gets in the way of fulfilling their goal of quote unquote convincing the American public that gay is okay, that homosexuality is normal. And this is one of the efforts that they're doing that. So
you guys have filed
an FTC complaint. Of course, that's a Federal Trade Commission complaint.
Right.
Give us a little bit of details on that.
Well, it's a very, very lengthy complaint, a formal complaint filed with the Federal Trade Commission. Because, frankly, we are not going to put up any longer with the blatant lies, the misleading statements, and the abusive, demeaning comments these national organizations are making about our clients, our professional therapeutic efforts, about ourselves in some cases. They're claiming harm and suicide and electroshock and all these ridiculous things that simply are not happening. They're cherry-picking research left and right to try to prove harm. They're saying all these kinds of things, and we're not going to put up with it anymore. And so we've now filed a very long, very formal complaint against these, mainly these two agencies, the HRC and the SPLC, Human Rights Campaign and the Southern Poverty Law Center. They claim to be unbiased and are there for everyone to speak their voices without bias and claim that everyone has rights. And yet they have become the people who they have become of whom they can't stand so much. They've become biased people because it doesn't fit with their narrative. And so they've become harming, potentially harming clients and us. And so the Federal Trade Commission needs to know about it. And that's why we're doing it.
Okay, good. Because I agree, they have been doing this for years as far as the attacks and against reparative therapy, against the therapist, and in essence against the clients who seek that type of therapy. So it's just refreshing that steps have been taken to kind of rein them in somewhat. Of course, we have a different administration, different folks in the FTC, so hopefully that'll be, I don't know just how that works. You file a complaint, then how does that, where does that go from there?
Well, it could be the path of a lot of complaints. Some complaints, honestly, don't go anywhere.
Okay.
Some complaints, the FTC decides to literally check out. It's kind of like the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court doesn't give you reasons why they do anything until they actually make a judgment on the case,
right.
But in the meantime, they decide which cases they're going to take and which not. But technically, they should respond in some way when somebody makes a formal complaint.
Right.
And so we'll see if they respond at all. If they don't, we're going to keep fighting. And if they do something, they're probably going to hopefully make it publicly aware that there has been a complaint filed so that people can understand, in the name of good public consumerism, what's really going on.
Yeah, well, hopefully so, because the news release came out, I think it was May 2nd, so it's just brand spanking new, and I'm hoping that the FTC will really look into this, because it affects so many people, especially children, when it comes to the attempts within the states, like here in Pennsylvania with these two bills and their attempt to ban reparative therapy or sexual orientation change therapy.
Uh-huh.
And we just think of all the kids who are under this continual indoctrination because, you know, mainstream media, entertainment media, so many magazines that are geared towards kids, children's storybooks, all seeking to normalize homosexuality and transgenderism. So
that's right.
You know, the kids are, again, as I said earlier, just being the guinea pigs. Hopefully the FTC will take a good hard look at your complaint and thoroughly investigate what you guys have said.
That's right. That's right. And you know what, Diane, if people want to get involved, which I strongly suggest, especially people with children, if they want to get involved, all they have to do is contact me via davidpickuplmft.com and just drop me a note via email on that from the website, davidpickuplmft.com. And they can do that, and they can become involved either behind the scenes or in front of the scenes, because we always need people to put to work on these issues, trying to establish parent groups, trying to get the word out, hold speaking engagements. We speak all over the country on these issues. So if anybody wants to have us come out and speak, we will literally do that for them, and we're happy to do so.
So that's davidpickuplmft.com?
You got it. That, okay. The LMFT stands for Licensed Marriage Family Therapist.
Oh, okay. I was wondering what that meant.
Yeah.
It's with the website, though. What does that mean? Okay. David Pickup, that's spelled just the way it sounds.
That's right.
So you guys actually have formed like parent groups and such that parents with kids who may be having unwanted same-sex attraction, or just parents who are concerned about the issue.
Yes, and that's usually done mainly. That's going to be done through the individual therapists who are on our team.
Okay, I got you.
Or other ministries that will hook into those things. We are also a source agency so that people can get more information for anything they're dealing with along these lines.
Well, that's fantastic, because, I mean, there's definitely a need for such groups, because, or even have you guys come in and speak to concerned parents, because parents are out there not knowing what to do, especially in these seven states, or even here in Pennsylvania, where we have these two bills, one in the House and one in the Senate, that have been introduced. And so many times parents don't get the truth about these situations. So it's good that you guys are out there,
that you're out there and offering your services.
So that's
right.
davidpickuplmft.com. And
thank you very much.
Yeah, I do encourage our listeners to check that out. And thank you guys for working so hard to rein in the SPLC and HRC, because they have been allowed to perpetuate their lies without any pushback, it seems like. And they've been very successful in doing that. So I appreciate your all's time. And again, davidpickuplmft.com. And I encourage your listeners to go check that out. And thanks so much, David, for your time. And keep up the good work.
Oh, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here anytime.
Okay, you take care.
All right.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.